Welcome to Disorderly Blondes. The following episode, unlike our usual platform, was recorded as a Zoom video and converted as an audio-only file. We apologize for any audio discrepancies you might pick up on your end. The wonderful Sandy from Spectrum Law invited us as her guests last month to discuss our life as moms parenting teens on the autism spectrum. If you ever had any doubts about our ability to keep things real, they should be gone by the time you listen. As usual, we went all in, not holding back for a single second. You can also find the link to the full video on our show notes and also on our own YouTube channel if you would like to take a look. Here we go.
So I wanted to introduce everyone to the Disorderly Blondes. I will allow each of them to introduce themselves in alphabetical orders from A to Z. And we'll learn a lot about autism today from these lovely ladies. So I'll go ahead and start with my Brenda.
Yay, it's me. My name is Brenda, half of the Disorderly Blondes. My son is Dylan. He is 17 and he is on the autism spectrum. So I have been at this for just a little while. Yes. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Am I next?
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm Christy, one of the Disorderly Blondes. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be Zooming and not for my son's class. Okay. I should rephrase that. It's awesome. But hey, this is kind of me time. So right. I have two boys and my son who has autism is, friend, hold on, going to be 16. I know, it's so bad. He's going to be 16 in June and my typical child is named Jackson. Oh, JR, did I say his name was JR? Wow. I haven't even started drinking yet. JR is going to be 16 and Jackson is going to be 13 and he is... he's a typical middle schooler, typical pain in the you know what, but that's, I'm gonna blame it all on Corona. But hi, welcome.
Thank you so much, ladies, for joining on today and this afternoon. I know this could be your time for yourself, but I appreciate you taking a moment to share some things about your personal experiences. You both are very much autism advocates, and I'm certain that today I'm certain today some autism heavyweights that we are going to learn.
I'm heavy, all right.
I agree. And you know, I wanted to start the conversation with what you just mentioned, Christy, when you're talking about typical versus atypical, because I find a lot of times people who aren't in the autism community don't hear this language regularly. So we're going to use a lot of terms today. And I'm hoping that you guys will educate the group that's watching. So if you can tell us, what do you mean by that?
Oof, I don't know. I have to figure out what the politically correct term of the moment is. And, you know,
politically correct around here?
Brent and I are definitely not politically correct, but we're aware that depending on who you are, depending on where you are emotionally, depending on you where you are intellectually, you have a different word. We have very choice words sometimes for autism. but, you know, what is normal? You know, what is typical? So that we could start there. Atypical is, I don't even know. My son is different. And it's just a different word. I try not to read too much into the terminology. Right. Some people prefer to say, he just needs more services than a typical child. But, you know, right. Autism, you know, I know labels are needed so people, you know, understand or can differentiate people. Right. But at the same time, a label isn't everything, even though, you know, Brenda can speak to the fact that when we, our children were smaller, we were seeking that label. We just wanted a word, a description, an answer for why all this was happening. And then as they grow older, you learn that labels just aren't as important.
Well, we got the word. We didn't want the word.
Right. We wanted so badly.
We wanted to know, and then we didn't want the word. And then once we got the word, we were scared to use the word because what does that mean exactly to have a label or a diagnosis? And then, well, that's going to hinder him in school and he shouldn't have that. And so do I hide this or what do I do? And clearly we're way past that now. 12 years later, it's over. The label's there. It's all there.
Yeah.
I
think it's hard sometimes because I know for me, I don't like people saying my nephew's autistic. Like, I feel like it's telling me what he is. Like, I like to say my nephew has autism because that's just something that is a part of him, but he's not autism. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like there's so many things that we could talk about in terms of my nephew. He's a comedian. He's a pain in the behind. He's very into music. Like, there's so many things that you could use to describe him. He's musical. He's loud. But saying that he's autistic, I sometimes feel like that just leaves a condition on him. And then he never gets out of that thought process. So when someone sees him, it's like, well, that's that autistic kid. No, he's Jeremiah. He has autism.
Right. He has autism, right. Yeah.
Right.
It's funny. Brenda and I write a lot about autism. And sometimes when, you know, there's only so many words you can use when, you know, when you're telling your story. And sometimes I have to say has autism or is autistic, depending on, you know, the wording.
Right.
And it kills me because, you know, part of me is like, autistic, that's an adjective. Is that like cancerous? And then I'm like, okay, has autism. Yeah. And then some people say, my son isn't. Wait, he has autism, but autism doesn't have him. And I'm like, oh my God, you know? Yeah. So, you know, it's tricky. And then we are friendly with individuals on the spectrum and they have their own opinions. So it depends
on who they do. You're leading me to a question. Well, before I go to my question, Lawrence Potpritkin says the girl on the green couch is hot, just so that you all know.
That's my friend.
So that leads me to something. I don't know a lot of folks on the spectrum, like adults who have autism or folks who grew up with autism. And one of the things that I've read as I've gone through different podcasts and blogs and things of that sort is there are a fraction of folks on the spectrum who don't like the puzzle pieces because they don't feel that they are pieces. Some folks like this more of an infinity loop of colors that shows, you know, the different degrees without saying that they are like they have a missing piece somehow. So what are your thoughts on that, ladies? Have you ever heard that before?
How much time do you have?
We have a little bit of time. I don't mind. We have a little bit of time.
Well, I don't know how Christy feels about this. I know that we have talked about, to be completely transparent, we are tired of the puzzle piece thing also. But that's just more, you know, how do I explain? I understand that people mean it from a good place, right? So if someone gives me a gift with a puzzle piece or someone says, hey, look what I found. I'm not going to say, oh, no, and then start my whole sermon that I've collected over 15 years as to why I don't like the puzzle piece and why I also don't like blue and all that stuff. So it depends. It depends on who I'm talking to. So I think, unfortunately, for the greater good, the puzzle piece signifies something and it's easy to just go with it. Do I personally like it? No, I'm over it. I've said before, you can't talk about a rainbow if you're only talking about the color red. So when you're I don't want to box the kids into anything and they're all so different. I don't know. I just personally, I rather not use it, but I understand how others are drawn to it. And for me, as long as it's not blue, I'm good.
I think the image came from a good place, though, originally, because I think it's a very parent-centric image because, you know, we all were trying to figure out this mystery, putting the pieces together. And likely from an autistic person's point of view, they don't feel like they are missing pieces or need to be pieced together. And that's a movement that, you know, we're all just, you know, learning about now as our sons start to become, you know, in an older age group. So it's less of a mystery to us. I mean, we're still trying to figure it out, but we get it.
Right. Well, my nephew's nonverbal, so I'm looking forward to him speaking to tell me his thought process one day. But, you know, that's another population issue within the autism community. Yeah. I'm curious, Brenda, about this blue thing. What's with the blue?
The blue. The blue goes back to...
I love that.
The blue goes back to Autism Speaks, which is an organization that I don't personally love or like to support.
Don't get me started.
Exactly. So same thing. A lot of people, hey, Jackie.
How are you?
I'm good. That's my typical child. Sorry.
The typical one. I love it.
Smelly. Bye.
I'll go take a shower.
Okay. Sorry, Brad.
I love it.
So it goes back to Autism Speaks, which is its own topic. And So same thing, when people bring up Autism Speaks, I had a friend once who called me and she said, hey, my school's doing a fundraiser and they want to, the funds are going to go to such and such place. And she actually called me because she's heard me complain about Autism Speaks so much and she wanted to make sure. And I said to her, you know, just support it, even if it's Autism Speaks. I feel bad to me that someone won't support it because of me and my personal opinions. But I mean, the whole thing like lighted up blue and all that and wearing blue from head to toe, that is not me. It's I mean, I did it once when Dylan was like 5 and that proof is out there that I did. But I choose not to support them. I rather support local organizations that are doing things and you know where the money goes directly. There's no middleman, there's no jets, there's no offices and penthouses in New York.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What about you, Christy? What do you think about that? This blue?
You know, if anything, it's kind of tired, you know, because we've been in this game for a while. It's complicated. I think Brenda and I have seen over the years, like she's mentioned her friend, and we have a lot of friends, obviously, through therapies and whatnot. We have a lot of friends who have participated in these big rallies and big marches and huge fundraisers.
Right.
And they barely can get a sitter, but they're out there and they're raising their money and they're collecting their money, right? Their kids in respite, but they're out there busting the butt for what? Yeah. And so in some of the philosophies that Autism Speaks have kind of followed in the past, we didn't particularly love, like, let's have this huge study. And we had this huge study. We spent millions of dollars. And guess we found out that moms who have kids with autism are stressed the F out. Oh, thanks. I could have told you that. You know,
oh, my gosh.
And I know that, you know, the organization has evolved. And so I don't want to, you know, speak too poorly. But that was just, you know, that was our experience. We don't want to see families stressed out over awareness when they're living awareness. And supporting local is something that anyone should do anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, I've made my position pretty clear on this autism organizations thing a few times on my social media, because I'm a firm believer that you start with local, because at the end of the day, it's great to see all of these large organizations doing all of these things. But when I was looking for services for my nephew, when my nephew was 2 and 3, and I was trying to find the morsels, there was nothing at all. And even when you reached out to these larger organizations, they have things, but we need respite care. My brother can't just go out without some caregiver. Like, he either has myself or my mom. But that's it. Like, he can't rely on me all the time and he can't rely on my mom all the time. He needs some other services to support him because he's a single dad. So you have a lot of families that are single parents. You have a lot of elderly parents caring for children on the spectrum. You have a lot of parents that have a very stressful life already because they're struggling to make ends meet and then trying to find stuff to help their kid because they're not able to get services because they're on Medicaid, for example, or, you know, there's just so many things. And then I'm looking at these organizations doing these big events, giving away all these things. And I'm like, that's great in theory, but please forget the little, you know, novelty things. Let's get some caregivers for these folks that really need help or some other services that are actually in these communities. So I'm definitely not you won't see me wearing blue. You won't see me doing a lot of like the flashy stuff. I like to support these local groups that are doing stuff that I see on a regular basis. So let's talk a little bit about COVID-19 and our quarantine mode and how it's impacted our lovely autism families. Because I know, I'll tell you from my perspective, I'm working from home. And as I've told many folks, we are a village raising my nephew because my brother's a single dad. So it is a very noisy scenario when I'm trying to work from home, talking to a client, and my nephew is making all the noise in the world. And the more that you try to get him to be quiet, the more noise he makes. And so he's going bat crazy right now. He's done with being in the house. He's like, where's the school? Where's all this other stuff that I used to do every day on my routine? So what kinds of things are you doing with your families to cope through this? And how are you able to manage in terms of your lifestyle? Because I don't know what each of you do outside of Disorderly Blondes, but tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Chris, do you want to start? Or you want me to start?
She's like, no.
You. Start. Well, I think the first week was a little crazy, just trying to figure out a routine. We know that most of our kids thrive on having some kind of routine. Right. I think Dylan initially thought it was just an extended vacation, extended weekend, where he just gets to play on the computer and do whatever he wants. And, you know, I've been lenient, he can, but it's been a little bit hard to get him to understand that he has to do homework with me, work with me. As you know, school uploads the work. A day like today, my printer wasn't working. I told you Murphy was around here today, Murphy's Law. And my printer wasn't working today, so I hardly had anything for him to do because I couldn't print out stuff. So having him sit and him see that it's just a different routine has been tough, and he won't sit for longer than 15, 20 minutes at a time. Okay. So just kind of like stressing that even if he has a meltdown, I'm still going to sit there with him and I'm still going to attempt to do something just so that he knows that I'm going to call him. I'm trying to finish everything by 11. And just to rewind a little bit, Dylan's type of autism is and I'm going to say, I'm going to label right now whether people like it or not. This is how I do it. He is mid to low functioning. So he is verbal enough to request, but he is not verbal enough to have a conversation back and forth. And the cognitive ability is not necessarily there, despite whatever method I try to explain things to him. I haven't really tried to explain that there's a virus going around and people are getting infected. First, he needs to learn how to brush his teeth before I can, you know, go into, those are more important things than talking about a virus. But for him, it's just, I just say it's, you know, school with mommy and, you know, shorter phrases, school with mommy, homework with mommy, time to sit down. He does his work and just kind of knowing that there's a new routine. And then I do positive rewards such as we have movie time. Right. Or he will go for a walk with daddy, or we've been doing dance class online, also on Zoom. So there's different things, and he's so innocent, and the innocence is almost a blessing in this case, because as much as he's frustrated, he doesn't understand that this got taken away from him. So he just goes with the flow the best that he can. Wow. And that's what we're doing with him.
Gotta love it. Miss Christy.
Mm-hmm. I can't hear you.
Uh-oh, she's muted. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I muted myself because my dog was barking. So, Bren, I was hoping that Dylan could come over and teach Jared to brush his teeth. Oh, and then Jared could sit down and show him all the ins and outs. My son is sort of like, you know, putting a silly label on him. He's like the monkey in the middle. It's like he knows too much. He understands too much. And that is hard. Okay. That's hard. But he's blessed. You maybe should have asked me this like the other day because isn't it the 15th? Yeah. JR melted down like horribly last night.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't really figure it out until I realized today was April 15th. And today was the day originally I was the governor, or maybe just our county had said,
oh yes,
that's when they're going back to school. And he just had that in his head and didn't even realize that. So this morning he was like, I'm not in real school, you know? So it's hard. We're really blessed that his school is doing a lot of varied activities. he's going from class, which is a very, very short snippet of time, to a social time, which he would normally have during his day. But there's so many choices for like enrichment that he can choose throughout the day through the ELS Foundation. So we are so lucky. He can be as busy or as non-busy as he likes. And I think the focus, because I'm friendly with a lot of the parents and I'm seeing, you know, they have varying exceptionalities of children, but they're all processing it differently. And some are like out, they're like, yeah, no. And the school has been extremely understanding. We're just really lucky that he can focus on this. They focus a lot on the social, and that's what he needs right now.
Right.
I lost you. I don't know what happened.
Are you still here?
I lost her. I lost Christy's voice.
Okay.
I hear you.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lucky. Oh, there you are.
I hear you.
I love this. So for those who are watching right now, those who are tuning in, tuning out, coming back to catch the replay, I am chatting with the lovely ladies of the Disorderly Blondes podcast. These lovely ladies are autism moms. They are well-versed in all things autism. And so we're just really kind of going down the list of some things that are current and pressing in the autism community. We invite you to please share this video. I'll also repost this on IGTV when I get a chance later. But please share this information. I'm sure there's a mom or dad or family member, caregiver, that would benefit from some of the information we're providing today. So again, I'm live right now with Disorderly Blondes. Please follow them on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you have any questions, we'll definitely answer any questions. So if I catch any, I'm kind of watching some of the things post as they come along, but definitely ask your questions. So ladies, I'm gonna switch gears a little bit. I asked this to Audrey from Arts for Autism when I spoke with her a couple of days back, and I wanted to know your three words. So if you could describe autism in three words, what would those three words be?
Oh, God. Oh, no. I have no good words.
Is that really considered a word, or is that... Because I know what Brenda says a lot.
What?
It's four words.
Ooh.
Never a
dull moment. Dull. good answer. Because my other ones will be very colorful, Candy, and I don't think you want me to say that. And I'm sorry. I am not the kind of mom who goes around saying, you know, oh, it's a rainbow, and there's this sprinkles, and I don't know, all this like beauty and whatever. You know, Dylan is effing awesome, and he's awesome because he's Dylan. Right. And everything, like you were saying earlier, his talents, his likes, personality, it's him. And if autism wasn't there, his personality would just be magnified. And in our case, because he's a more severe case, whether people like to acknowledge that severe autism exists or not.
Right.
It does. In our case, it is very painful. Seeing him hurt himself is painful. Seeing him frustrated and crying is painful. So I'm sorry. I have nothing positive to say.
Is that a blessing?
It's definitely not a blessing for me. And has it taught me anything? That whole thing where like, oh, you know, because I'm a better person. Yeah, maybe I am a better person, a little bit more patient.
Right.
But he is who he is because he's Dylan, you know? And if he didn't have it, I feel he would, let's say he likes dance, he would be able to take a dance class, you know, and maybe, you know, get somewhere with that. And piano, he might be able to do it a little better if it didn't. So it's all these deficits are hindering him. And I just think that he wants more, and we are killing ourselves to give him that more, you know, and that's me. I've always been very black and white. I'm not that kind of mom. Everyone comes differently. That's me. Take it, leave it. That's, you know, so I'm sorry. I have no good words for.
Well, you know what, Brenda? I was ready for whatever language you want to use, because truth be told, my nephew is not on the realm of the spectrum where we're shooting roses from our behinds and, you know, laying around rolling in the hills. He has some very severe tantrums, and I'm talking slamming in the head, hitting concrete, whatever it is, crying, punching. I mean, he's bitten himself a number of times. He has even markings. Like if you look at his hands, you could see where he's broken skin. I've gotten bitten. My brother's been bitten. Mom's been bitten. I mean, hits, punches. I mean, hitting every surface that he can with every part of his body. So my version of dealing with autism has nothing to do with roses at all. And what I hate a lot of times is I never get to see other folks who are dealing with more severe forms of autism. I'm always hearing folks talk about, oh, my kid is great and he's able to do this and he's able to do that. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, that's not everybody. So I invite you to use whatever language you'd like to give us the real story, truth be told.
I think what happens is it's more color, it's prettier and nicer, and everyone, I always say everyone wants to, you know, even like with sometimes we all do it, right? We all say, oh, I'm just going to turn off social media because I'm tired of hearing all the negative stuff, right? And I'm tired of hearing the bad news, and everyone is drained, and everyone's natural reaction is everyone wants to help, right? I know like friends, they want to reach out and they want to just help. So instead of sometimes when you're complaining or I'm saying something, oh, you know, Dylan did this, whatever. Sometimes people's inclination is to say, well, have you tried this or have you? And sometimes you just need somebody to say, it sucks. I hope tomorrow's better.
Right.
You know, because you're not minimizing. So with that, saying that, on TV, sometimes networks are afraid to post our kind of reality because it's not cute, right? They rather say that this boy who's three picked up a violin and played it all by himself.
Yeah.
They don't want to put that Dylan is 17 and he doesn't know how to wipe his behind. That's not cute.
Yeah.
But are you going to put Dylan's potty training at 17 or are you going to put the violin player? And and then you have who's on the board and in the networks and special interests. And you know, there's a lot more there. So it doesn't make us bad parents to share the severity of our children or bad aunties. You know, it's just we're trying to also have a voice. And I know that for those, I know there's a whole thing where behavior is communication, but it still doesn't make it okay. It still doesn't make it okay that our kids hit themselves and bleed. And some kids, I mean, I have friends who have it even worse, whose kids wear helmets all day. And I mean, I'm having to go on and on. And that's okay. So you don't want to see that because it's bad, but that's reality.
Right.
I'm sorry. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but you know what I mean?
What do you think, Christy?
I think that the combination of Brenda and I works because JR, okay, here comes a label. You know, he is a little bit more capable in certain areas than Dylan.
Right.
A little bit. But at the same time, his understanding is a detriment to him and it invites a lot of parent shaming because I'll say something like, oh my God, he cannot stop talking about wanting to drive. He's obsessed with cars. So he's like, well, this is great because when I turn 16, I turn 16 next month. I'm going to drive. And like, that is the last thing that anyone needs. And then you're going to get the parents that say, well, why not let him drive? And I'm like, well, you have to kind of understand, like he may have some intellect, but he doesn't have sophistication. He doesn't have decision-making skills. He cannot drive, you know? So we have a whole unique set of issues having a child who can think a little bit for himself, but it's dangerous in a way. You know, I hate autism because it sucks so much out of him. He has such an incredible personality. He's hilarious. He's my comic relief. I just adore him. And then when you sit and think about what, like Brenda said with Dylan's dancing, what could he have been? And then I'll be shamed for saying that because what's wrong with having autism, right? So a lot of people, I have autism. I'm an attorney. I have autism. I'm, you know, this. Yeah. That's your experience.
Right.
That's, I think, the middle ground here is that I see as the main problem is that every time, for every message of someone saying, oh, but it's not so bad, you know, because did you know that so-and-so could do this? All somebody needs to do is add a sentence at the end and say, that is not the case for everyone. And then Let's talk about the spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. Not just this. So how about we do it all the time, especially because Christy and I have different situations. I'm able to say what Dylan does or doesn't do. And then Christy talks about it. So we are talking about all of it, including the even, here's the label, higher functioning, right? So, yeah. I mean, you cannot tell me that you drove to work. You walked up, you know, to your nice high-rise offices and you sat down at your cushy job, but you have autism, and then you talk about it, and then you're not talking about kids like Dylan. That's not cool. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the entire spectrum, right?
And I think we have to let parents know. I want parents to know that it's not a competition. It's not a race. And I say this, you know, our parents, our husbands are friendly and they have a lot of, you know, banter about autism and they banter. And, you know, I think that something that, you know, they've relayed to one another is that at the end of the day, someone has to take care of Dylan and someone has to take care of JR for the rest of their lives. And it's not going to be us. You know, who cares if JR can do X, Y, and Z?
Right.
At the end of the day, he will never have gainful employment. And screw you guys who say, but he might. No, he's never going to make a living wage. He's never going to be able to make adult decisions for himself. I mean, he's really great at making a turkey sandwich when he feels like it. It's a very adult decision. And I shouldn't say turkey because that's kind of healthy. I should say like chocolate chip cookies. So again, you know, he needs somebody to be taking care of him and it sucks.
Right. That's the hardest thing. You know, as a non-parent dealing with anything autism, I always worry, you know, what is my nephew's life going to be like when the rest of us aren't here? And, you know, it's a battle in my household because we're always kind of bumping heads a little bit because, yes, he does need help, but we have to help him learn to be somewhat self-sufficient because my mom's notorious for doing something like, let's say she's making chicken for dinner, but she knows Jeremiah likes ground beef with rice. So she'll make the regular dinner and then she'll make the ground beef with rice, right? So now he's eating chicken and ground beef with rice, whatever else. So he'll eat both. And I always say to my mom, Ma, he's going to eat whatever you make eventually. So you're going to get to a point where he'll eat anything. And right now when he's hungry, he's going to eat whatever you put in front of him. So you have to keep him in that habit because if he knows every time it's dinner time, grandma's going to make two different kinds of meals for him specifically, then we're screwed because he's going to have a caregiver or whoever else is supporting him as he gets older who doesn't care that he doesn't like chicken or doesn't care that he doesn't like ground beef or whatever it may be. And so that's a great fear for me. It's the enabling behaviors that we all engage in because we love to help and coddle them. And I'm guilty of it. So I'll testify to that.
Well, because we have to choose our battles too. Right?
Yeah,
that's true.
Baby steps with that.
It's a daily battle, but I mean, one thing in trying to do different things to address autism acceptance, because I'm so done with the awareness thing. We're aware. We all are aware that autism exists. The problem is we're not aware to the extent autism exists and what the spectrum really looks like. Because we always say autism, but we forget that there's a whole spectrum of behaviors and disorders that most people don't see. We only see the violin player that can play and speak five languages or something. And I'm like, well, my nephew might play that violin with one of the strings that he decides to pull off the, right. So he pulls it off the violin and attaches it to your TV knob somewhere and plays it with the knife from the kitchen. So that's a more accurate picture for me. But I want to get your perspective on some things for parents who are dealing with a new diagnosis, because I've gone through a whole range of behaviors over the years. My nephew's 13 now. He started showing signs at about 2.5, almost 3 years old. And we've gone through our whole gamut of behaviors and dealing with other people who don't have children on the spectrum and dealing with people who didn't have children on the spectrum and then ended up having one. What advice would you have for new parents who are now facing diagnosis and possibly were one of those people looking like, what's wrong with that kid? What advice do you have for those parents?
Bren, you want to talk about the young moms?
The young moms. We always keep saying that in our podcast and we mess it up. Christy, you go first this time.
Oh, no. Oh, thanks. No, I had to add that because we, you know, I really feel like our podcast is catered to parents facing a new diagnosis. And we're always saying, young moms, which is not necessarily the case, but, you know, I feel like everyone's younger than us at this point, so it's fine. So I think that we keep that in mind during our podcast, and I think our goal really is so that those families didn't have to go through what we did. I mean, they're having to go through what we did, but without the help. Yes, they could have gone on Autism Speaks and they could have printed out a PDF, you know, the steps and all that. So, you know, we want to tell them that autism is survivable. I mean, you know, with the help of alcohol and friendship and laughter. It's not, you know, a laugh a minute, obviously, but I think, you know, for me, you know, the best advice is follow your heart. I can't tell you how many, and still guided sometimes by, well, what will people think? What will people say? Or, you know, should what if I'm doing this wrong? You're not doing anything wrong.
Right.
You are being a parent. You're doing the very best that you can. Ask for help and F everyone else. That's all.
Absolutely.
Bren, what do you think?
That's where I was going to go with my answer too. It's okay to do you. And by that, I mean, when you first get a diagnosis, everyone is going to have an opinion, from the neighbor to the grandma to the husband, even to the sister, to the, everybody's going to have an opinion. Mm-hmm. So learn to just take it. Some of it might be good. Some of it might not be as good, but at the end of the day, do what you think. And it's okay. It's okay because you are the parent, and whatever you are going with your gut and whatever you think, it's the right thing for your child. So just because Christy does something and it works for JR, it doesn't mean it's going to work for Dylan, but that's okay. Right. Christy can do it and I could do something else that maybe doesn't work for JR because they're all different. So trust your instincts and go with them. And like Christy said, F everyone else.
And one day at a time, you know, it can be very overwhelming. And I remember even, you know, Brenda and I have known each other for a long time. And I remember, you know, she would do something and be like, oh, I better get on that. Like yesterday. Well, you have a little bit of time, number one. And you know, you can't do everything. You just have to do what's right for you in the moment. And you're going to make mistakes. You're going to start something and then you're going to go, oh, it didn't work. Okay, great. It's checked off of your list. But I remember my mother-in-law, we butt heads a lot when JR was little, and mostly because she would just stop and say, oh, Christy, you just have to love him. And I'm like, oh, no, that's not a therapy. And I fought her. And unfortunately, she was right all along. You have to love them. Right. And, you know, they talk so much about autism acceptance, but it really begins with you, you know, accepting your parenting, except, you know, love yourself first and foremost. You know, put your pants on, put your big girl panties on or your thong or whatever you're into, and tackle it. You know, like Brenda says to me almost every day, you do you, you do you. And she has to remind me of that a lot. So friendship, that's kind of the key too.
And you brought up a good point, Christy, the whole thing where sometimes it's frustrating where the whole loving, obviously we love our kids, right? So, but that whole thing where, like, you know, autism is not an excuse in my house. Oh, is that so? So Dylan, okay, so it's so okay. Or you have to pray hard enough or love him enough. Oh, got it.
That's it.
So is that why Dylan doesn't know how to wipe his behind yet? Because I didn't want it enough, and because I didn't, you know, it's not an excuse. So I'm just going to stand there and say, Dylan, it's not an excuse. You still got to do it. I mean, right. No, you know, so at some point, all those little phrases and things that people say, you know, it doesn't help. So you just do you.
Listen, absolutely. We've tried to beat it out of him. It doesn't work. We've tried to beat it out of him. And
you know, we've tried pretty much every therapy, every diet, every single thing out there as of now. And, wow. You know, different results for different things that we both swear by. Right. And that just goes to show you that it's different for every single family. So as long as you just go with your what works for you, you're good.
Mm-hmm. And this virus has taught us a lot. I mean, we have one life to live. So you cannot just, you know, I'm kind of an anal person and I don't like to lie around. So I like to, you know, stay busy. But this, right. You know, virus going on has kind of taught us to slow down and just take things in. And, you know, you don't need to clean your house because who's coming over, that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
But, you know, you just live your life, you know, and I know that sounds, you know, very simple for me to say, oh, you know, just go about your life. It's a little bit more complicated than that, but just try to grab onto any sense of normalcy that makes you happy. Yeah. Make your family happy, carve out that time and try, because at the end of the day, life is short. Love your kid, love yourself. Love your friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely. See, I knew you guys were the perfect ones to join in on this conversation. So I want to know more about Disorderly Blondes, because as I'm listening to both of you speak, I can tell that you all are the mesh. Like you just go right together.
You have you said like a mess.
No.
That too.
You are the mesh or the mess if you choose. That you guys really flow together well. And I think because you both have some different experiences with autism, you may have some similar things. You both have some openness to certain things and you really are like, no, I'm not dealing with that. So how did you get started with the whole Disorderly Blondes podcast and what was the motivation behind it?
Christy and I have been trying to bring awareness to the reality of autism for a while now. Back okay. in 2012, we were signed up with a production company to do a reality TV show.
Nice.
And we had a teaser, which got sent out to all these other big networks. And everyone loved it. Everyone loved us, loved the family, loved the kids. But no one wanted to be the first one to do it, to pull the gun no. and say, oh, you know, and that was before Atypical, before all these shows. What was it? The parenting one? I forgot the name of that show.
Yeah.
Right? Where they had one of the very first ones where they started featuring children on the spectrum.
Right.
And so nobody wanted to be the first one. So it's always been there. We've always wanted to do something together to bring our reality to life. And okay. a couple of years ago, I did an interview, a local interview, and I came home and I was fired up and I was like, Christy, we need to get on a local network and we need to bring the topic of autism weekly, right? Locally about our kids, but also local organizations and talk about what is happening in our community. But then we thought, yeah, how are we going to film ourselves? And without, you know, that's too much work. So then
right.
plan B, not that it's not a lot of work, it's a lot of work, was how about a podcast? You know, we can just record, we could do it remotely, we could do it together. It's not right. as much as video and editing. And here we are.
Nice. All right. That's amazing. So in doing this podcast, I'm sure that you've come across a million and one resources, programs, community organizations, and all of those things. What would you say are some good places for new parents who are now experiencing autism, what would you say are some good resources for them to tap into?
That's a good question. You know, they're just, it's really whatever floats your boat. I mean, there's just so much out there now, way more than, you know, when Brenda and I okay, were first yeah. diagnosed, whether it's
yeah.
dance therapy,
right.
hip hop as a specialty to dance therapy.
Yeah. You know,
I feel like, and those may be, you know, fluff things on top of, you know, maybe like an ABA or a specific type of therapy. But I think everything's therapy. Anything that's going to kind of get your child, you know, happy and moving and communicating and that kind of thing. There's really just so much. And we have met the most incredibly dedicated people that we interviewed for our podcast, and incredible towns, entire towns that are dedicating their one of their missions to taking care of those on the spectrum and with special needs. So it's a new day, and it's really exciting. Bren, do you have anything to add? Like any, you know, specific therapies?
Well, I kind of pulled up our episodes because I think we featured and going back to the suggestions for the new parents or the parents of the newly diagnosed children is line yourself up with a good advocate. And yeah. I know we had one on our come on, it's our episode 4. Not that we're tooting our horn, you don't have to listen. But really,
not the mic.
Whether it's our advocate or not, you need a good advocate in your life. Right. I thought I knew it all when Dylan was 5. I mean, I kind of know it all, but no, I don't. I could have used that when Dylan was 5, going into kindergarten. I thought I was so good going into that first meeting. And looking back, I was not as smart as I thought. I was going to say something else. But so that's a good resource like we have on our podcast. We have the Chocolate Spectrum, which is around Christie. It's a place that employs adults on the autism spectrum, but it's something to look forward to and to support because it's local. Audrey from Spectrum Dance Therapy also is of all ages, and she also puts on trainings for parents with ABA based training. So it's not just dance. She puts on things for parents who want to learn some of the techniques that she has learned. Let's see what else. The town of Miami Lakes, yay! They have so many good resources. And if you do live in Miami Lakes, it's everywhere. Like, you cannot miss it. They have a council. Christy, do you remember the full name? I always get it wrong.
I always get it wrong too, with Marilyn Ruano.
Yes. And, amazing. They're great with their locals.
Yes.
Yeah. And they do a lot with them. We have, let's see who else. Sources. Sorry.
And take a look at what some of these model towns are doing and demand that of your town.
Right.
Whether it's a cafe, you know, run by individuals on the spectrum or, you know, free parent trainings. And you know, going back to what we said earlier, try everything. If you can afford it, or, you know, try, and then, you know, you could weed things out. You just never know. My son started doing drama and he was a shining star. And I'm thinking, you know, and I'm only saying that because, you know, he's going to be 16 and I have been trying to find like a niche for him for forever. And you may be looking for that forever, you know, and I'm not saying a niche for as a job, as a niche is, you know, something that's a distraction. We all need a hobby or something that we're into.
But have you played the violin?
Yeah. That, well, when he gets in his Bugatti and he drives over to the violin store.
Oh my gosh, not the driving and the violin. Right. Oh my gosh.
Remember all the surfers for autism and a perfect day. Dylan did both when he was very little. I think you have to be 5, I think, to start. I don't remember.
Okay.
If it's changed, but they're great.
Okay.
Really quick with registration. But if anyone has any questions or wants suggestions, they could always reach out to us, and we are always happy.
Always.
Our inbox, we're always answering, you know, moms and who have questions for us. What was that thing that Dylan did or whatnot?
Yeah.
So we're happy to share whatever we think could help.
Absolutely. I'm hoping that folks really do take advantage of the opportunity to reach out to you. I know that I've reached out to you guys about just finding out about, you know, stuff for summer. And you've definitely always responded really quickly with, you know, little tidbits here and there. I mean, honestly, anybody watching this, if you have any questions, please check out the Disorderly Blondes podcast. They're on Facebook. They're also on Instagram at Disorderly Blondes. We are talking all things autism today. And I guess at this point, it's really just some closing last things that you would like families to know, parents who are dealing with a child on the spectrum, folks who don't know anything about autism. Any last thoughts, ladies?
There's someone I know, her name is Sandy, and she also does a lot of work with our community. You, your own horn, because you do such wonderful things. I'm going to turn the table on you for a second in case someone watches it on our channel. And if you can tell our listeners and viewers what you offer our community.
Well, you know, it's interesting because ever since I became an auntie for autism, it's literally been like another aspect of my life. Like it's, there's my job, there's my personal life, but autism is like right in with that. So I became an autism advocate by default. I immediately, when my nephew was, you know, when we saw these signs coming on, I was just looking for any and everything. And I literally mean like my brother's dealing with the diagnosis and the schooling and all that. And between my mom and I, it was just, what can we find? Because this is different. Like we don't know this. This is not part of our normal world. So I am an advocate by nature. I'm always trying to do things to really provide information. So I do presentations out in the community on things like special needs trusts. I work with, you know, families who have children on the spectrum when it comes to things like guardianship. I am an attorney. I have a firm called Spectrum Law Firm Miami, where my partner and I do very different things. But one of the core things that I do as part of the partnership is educate the autism community on planning, long-term planning. Because many things that, you know, our families need to know have to do with putting something aside and also preparing the actual plan. Well, who's going to take care of my child? How is my child's long-term care going to be funded? How is my long-term care going to look? Because, you know, you can leave some instructions for, you know, what does my child like to do? What is their safety thing? What are the things that they need to soothe them? Who's going to understand their bedtime routine and their morning routines and afternoon routines? So I'm very into, in my law practice, working with families to really give them the tools so that they not only know what their child's picture will look like, but also have the documents in place. So I'm Sandy B, Auntie for Autism. You can find me on Facebook, my first and last name, or you can find me on Instagram at Sandy B Law. So that's a little bit about me.
Sandy, there's an expression, you know, you're going to hear a lot, is that you are your child's best advocate. So if you don't, you know, get on the stick, who will? But I'm here to say that, you know, family, they're either in or, and they're in it to win it, or they're out.
Absolutely. They're
out. And I've experienced both of those things. So I'm so proud to know you, not only for what, you know, your advocacy, but what you're doing, you know, for your own nephew. It's very, very touching, and we appreciate you.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much. So, and if there are no last comments, ladies, anything else you want to add to the pot before we wrap this up?
Wash your hands.
Don't touch your face.
And then wear gloves, please.
Look, can we try to tell our, you know, the children to do this? Because my nephew, it's like the mask goes on and it's like right here. And he's just like, he's enjoying the fact that the mask is on his face. Don't ask him to, you know, wash his hands too much, because then he'll just be spending his whole day doing this. Right, all day long, rubbing. Right. No. So he uses a lot of hand sanitizer. That's our go-to, because he likes to feel the hand sanitizer. Oh yeah. So for everyone who watched this, I hope that you will share this video. I'm hoping that anyone who catches it on the replay, that you'll post your comments. We'll still be able to see your comments. This is also going to be posted on Instagram and YouTube. So if you have any questions after this video, please know that we are a resource to you. Again, I'm with Disorderly Blondes, the podcast. You can catch these ladies on Instagram and Facebook. Please check the description and the comments for our contact information. Ladies, I thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining me with this chat. And I look forward to many more opportunities with you ladies. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sam. This was so fun.
Absolutely. We'll chat again. Bye, ladies.
I'm going to go eat something now.
Yes.
Again.
Bye.
Bye.